I'm going to give you a simple thought or two tonight and this afternoon. I trust it will be a blessing to you and that it will be something that will help you. John chapter 14, begin reading at verse 15. And the Lord Jesus speaking to the disciples, after having instituted the Lord's Supper that we talked about this morning, He says this, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. But ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in My Father, and ye in Me, and I in you. He that hath My commandments," now I want you to listen to this, "He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me, and he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself to him. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth Me not keepeth not My sayings, and the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me. Please bless the preaching of Thy word, I pray, dear Father, that You would help me to say a few things tonight that would help all of us, help all of us to see how You manifest Yourself to us. In Your absence, that is, in this period of time when You're physically absent from us, help us to see how You will manifest Yourself to us still. Amen. On the eve of the crucifixion, after instituting the ordinance of the Lord's Supper in that upper room, which we talked about this morning, our Lord Jesus spoke to His disciples concerning several things to prepare them for His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and His return. All of those things He was saying things to prepare them for. Some of His conversation with them occurred before leaving the upper room. The rest transpired as they walked from that upper room through Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley, over to the Garden of Gethsemane, where that Judas soon thereafter betrayed Him. But that's when the conversation was taking place. As the Lord was speaking, the disciples had yet to accept the reality of what was about to happen. Jesus had made it as plain as He could make it. But still, that was something they did not want to face. And so, up to this point, they had really failed to completely accept the reality of all that was going to transpire in the next 24 hours. The Lord Jesus, however, knowing all that was about to happen, wasted no words. Everything He said to them that night was of the utmost importance, though they did not realize how important it was. They said, not understanding, not accepting what He had told them was going to happen, hoping that perhaps they were misunderstanding what He was saying. I'm sure that they did not realize the importance of what the Lord was talking about, saying to them. But the Lord knew what was going to happen. And so everything He said was of the utmost importance. He wasted no words at all. Now undoubtedly those disciples, after often looked back on that night, and said something like this to themselves and perhaps among themselves, "Oh, if I had only known that night what was about to happen. If I'd only known, I would have listened to what the Lord said more intently." I believe that they often said that to themselves. Now that's my my sanctified imagination running with me a little bit. But let me ask you, have we not all done that at some time? That we were with someone and we weren't really giving them our undivided attention. We weren't really paying close attention to what they were saying. We weren't taking things very seriously. And unbeknownst to us, that may be the last time we would see them before they died. Might be the last time we get to talk to them before they died. And whenever that happens, we'll look back and we'll often say, if I'd just known what I know now, if I had that night, that time to go over with them, I'd listen to them more carefully. I'd listen to every word they said. I've thought that many a time in my life. I've thought that about my own father. I've thought that about people that I've known in churches I've pastored. That if I'd just known that they didn't have much longer, I would have listened more carefully to them. But it's too late whenever you look back and say that, isn't it? But the Lord knows, and so everything He said, it's very important, very important. Now what my text consists of is an excerpt out of that conversation the Lord had with them after instituting the Lord's Supper and until He got to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is an excerpt out of that conversation, which was much lengthier than what I've chosen as my text. And in this excerpt, I want you to look at verse 21 especially with me tonight. He says, the Lord says to His disciples, He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me, and he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself to him. Now notice, the Lord promised His disciples that night. He said, I'm going to manifest Myself unto you after I have departed. I'm going to manifest Myself unto you. And then Judas, and it emphasizes not Iscariot, but Judas, not Iscariot, in verse 22, he asked the Lord this question, how? How is it that you will manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? How in the world are you going to do that? And what I want to do tonight, with the help of God, I want to endeavor to answer that question. I'm not professing that I'm going to answer it in totality. I'll just probably scratch the surface of it. But how is it that the Lord, in His physical absence, how is it that He manifests Himself to us, His disciples, His children? How is it that He manifests Himself to us in the meantime? That's what I want to talk a little bit about this evening. Now, the key to seeing the manifestations of the Lord Jesus of Himself is His Word. That's the most important thing I'll probably say tonight. The key to seeing the manifestations of Christ to us is His Word and your relationship with His Word. That is the key. Now, look at verse 21. Verse 21 again. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. Now, His commandments come from what? His Word. And I want you to notice this, having and keeping the commandments, and notice it's commandments plural. It is not a specific commandment. But having and keeping the commandments of God, He says, that's proof that you love Me. And again, I emphasize, it's commandments plural. Here's what we like to do. We like to approach the commandments of God as kind of a buffet. You go to the buffet and you say, well, I like that, so I'm going to get me some of that. I can't stand that stuff. I don't see anybody eats it. I'm not going to get that. But I like that there and I'll get that. I don't like that over there, and I don't like that. And you just pick and choose what you want to eat. That's, I'm afraid, how so many people approach the Word of God. They come to the Word of God not saying, this is God's Word, it's all good for me. Whether I really like it at this time or not, it's not important. I just know this is God's Word, and I need it. It's spiritually nourishing for me. Instead of doing that, they come and they say, all right, well, I like this commandment here, but I don't like this one over here. And we pick and choose what we want to obey. Amen? We pick and choose that. You know, the man picks he likes the commandment that the wife is to obey her husband in all things as unto the Lord. He likes that one. Wives normally don't care much for that one. The wives like that one that tells us that we're to love them as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And men tend to shun away from that. Now, I'm not saying any of us actually shun away, but you get the idea of what I'm trying to say. Is we pick and choose what we like. You know? Thou shalt not steal. Well, I like that one. I don't want anybody stealing from me. But how about thou shalt not covet? Well, I don't know about that. I like coveting what other people have. We pick and choose things. I want to tell you something. If you are one that picks and chooses what you obey, you don't love the Lord very much. The Bible says here, he that hath my commandments, plural, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So having and keeping the commandments of God is proof of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the verse goes on and says, and he that loveth me, who is it that loves him? The one that hath and keepeth his commandments. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So the man that comes to the Word of God says, all right, there are the commandments. I'm going to take everyone. I love them all. I'm going to seek to obey every one of them. Now, I know nobody's going to succeed in that. But we ought to strive at it. Amen? And so he does that, and the Lord says, that man really loves me. Because he doesn't just do that which pleases me and him. He endeavors to do that which pleases me, whether it pleases him or anybody else or not. That man loves me. And he says, you know something? I have a special love for that man right there. I have a special love for that man. So, the man that hath and keepeth the commandments of God, that is evidence that he has a sincere, genuine love for the Lord, and the Lord in return has a very special place in his heart for that man. Now, loving Jesus is proof that you love His words. I want you to look at verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my what? Words. Again, it's plural. Not just some of the word, but he keeps the words, all of it. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me and keepeth not my sayings, plural, his sayings would be his word, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So from these verses we find loving Jesus is proof that you love His words, His sayings, and so forth. And the person who loves the words of God also has a very special place in the heart of God. Now, let me try to get you to see how this thing works. The more I love the Lord, the more I am going to want to please Him by obeying His commandments. You follow me? The more I love the Lord, the more I am going to want to please Him by obeying His commandments. And so the more I love and obey the commandments of God, the more I'm going to love Him. And therefore, He is going to draw closer to me. And then, as He draws closer to me and I love Him more, the more I love Him and experience that intimacy with Him, the more I'm going to love and obey His words. And the process just keeps repeating itself. You get it? Here I am. I love the Word of God. I have it. And I want to keep His words because I love the Lord. And so as I become aware of what the Bible says, this is what I'm going to do. And so I am doing this. And it shows that I love the Lord. And the Lord says, you know something? That guy's not perfect. But he loves me. He's doing his best to please me to the best of his knowledge. And I love him. I have a special place for him. And so the Lord draws very close to that man. Everybody does not enjoy the same degree of fellowship with the Lord. There's a lot of people, you know, you may have a relationship because you're saved, but there's different degrees of fellowship within that relationship. And the man that hath the Word of God and he strives to keep it because he loves the Lord says, I'm going to draw very close to that man. And as I draw close to that man, as he draws close to that man, and that man experiences his intimacy, you know what happens? His love for the Word of God grows because he wants to know more of the Word of the God who is revealing himself to him, and so he gets back in the Word. And the more he gets in the Word, the more he discovers, and the more obedient and pleasing to the Lord he becomes, and the Lord draws closer to him, and when the Lord draws closer to him, that man experiences that intimacy. He said, boy, this is sweet. I want to know more how to get close to him. And he's back in the Word. You see how it goes? And it's just a cycle that ought to go on our entire life. Our entire life. Our entire life. You love the Word. You want to obey it. Because it tells you about the Lord. The Lord draws closer and it just builds on and on and on. Now, I hope you're beginning to see how the Word of God is the key to our Lord manifesting Himself to us. Apart from the Word of God, disciples are like men that have their eyes closed. They are not blind, but they cannot see. They're not blind, they just have their eyes closed. You close your eyes, you can't see what's right in front of you. You're not blind, all you gotta do is open your eyes. So you're not blind, but you can't see. Now the lost man is blind even with the Word of God. But the regenerated man, the saved man, though not blind, apart from the Word of God, it's like he's got his eyes closed. He's not blind, but he has his eyes closed, apart from the Word of God. He needs the Word of God. He needs the Word of God to see the Lord. To see the manifestations of the Lord all around him. You see that? So it's very important, very important. You can't say, you know something, I'm not going to take time to read, study my Bible. I'm just going to spend time praying and talking to the Lord and drawing close to the Lord. No, it's not going to work like that. You need to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God. And here you learn the commandments of God. Here you learn more about the Lord. And therefore, you can understand the Lord better. And then you draw close to Him over here. And it's just a process that goes on and on and on. Are you kind of getting what I'm trying to get you to see tonight? I didn't hear much encouragement there, huh? All right. Are you starting to see it, huh? Now, having said that, if you hadn't seen it now, I don't know how else to get you to see it, all right? If you haven't seen it now, I'm going to go on anyway. But I want you to see how this works. It's the Word of God is the key. Now, the Lord manifests Himself in His Word by His words. This is His Word, and it consists of His words. He manifests Himself in His Word by His words. Now, let me try to illustrate. You read a passage of Scripture about the Lord, and you cannot understand it. You have that problem? I do. You read a passage of Scripture and you say, boy, I just don't understand this. Now, I'm going to give you an example that I think all of us can understand. The Bible tells us that Jesus became a man, God incarnate. He became a man. But the Bible says that He had no sin nature and that He never sinned. Now, when I think about that and I realize what the Bible says over the book of Romans and Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and we understand that to be the sin nature, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Well, by one man sin into the world, death passed upon all men. How is it that that sin, that death, did not pass upon the Lord Jesus Christ? And then I read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, a verse like this. For we have not an high priest, that is speaking of the Lord Jesus, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And yet the Bible says that sin passed upon all men by way of Adam. Well, how is it that the Lord could be a man and not have a sin nature? How can that be? Now, you already know the answer, but I'm trying to illustrate something. You know what I do? I come to the Lord. I say, Lord, I don't understand this. And the Lord says, go to my Word. And we get in the Word, and we keep reading, and we keep reading, and we keep reading. And after a while, we'll run across a passage which will clarify it for us. How is it that the Lord could be a man and yet not receive that Adamic nature? And we come to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And we say, oh, there's the answer. He did not have a human father. And so that's how he could be born without having a sin nature like the rest of us. Now, how is it that the Lord manifested this to me of Himself? It's by His Word. Amen? And so I get in the words of His Word, and He manifests those things to us. You see, Scripture puzzles. The Lord uses Scripture to clarify the things in Scripture that puzzles us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, no Scriptures of any private interpretation. What does that mean? Well, you come to one passage of Scripture, and you say, I don't understand this. It puzzles me. Something may be about the Lord Himself, and it puzzles you. Well, you just keep reading and studying, and it might not happen the first time you read through your Bible, but if you just keep at it, you'll be amazed at how you'll find the answers to those things that puzzled you. What's happening? The Lord is manifesting Himself in His Word by His words. Now, a second thing. Christ manifests Himself through His Spirit by His words. We know this. We go back to John chapter 14. And we know this, that Christians are indwelt by the blessed Holy Spirit of God. John 14 and verses 15 and following. He says this, If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not. Neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, he's talking about here that the Holy Spirit of God is going to indwell us. And we know this, when a man gets saved today, immediately the Spirit of God takes up residence. His body becomes a temple of the Spirit of God. We know that. He is there. He is a member of the Godhead. And God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are one. Not the same person, but the very same in essence. All their attributes are the same. Everything about them, same in essence. And so there's a real sense in which being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God is being indwelt by the Son of God Himself. And we see this here. We look at John chapter 16 and verses 12 and following. And here's what the Bible says. The Lord said this to His disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now get this. He shall what? Glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. You see, everything the Holy Spirit of God does in us and through us is a revelation of Christ to us. Everything. Everything. That's what He's here for. To glorify the Lord. To show the manifestations of the Lord to us. You see, when the Holy Spirit of God comforts us, whenever He does that, you know what that is? That's a revelation of Christ's comfort. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts us, you know what that is? It's a revelation of Christ's displeasure. When the Holy Spirit of God guides us, it is a revelation of Christ's will in our lives. When the Holy Spirit of God enlightens us, enabling us to see things and understand things in the Word of God, it is a revelation of Christ's wisdom. Everything that the Holy Spirit of God does in us, it is a revelation of Christ to us. And He's doing that with His Word. How do we know these things? By the words of Christ. By the words. That's how we know it. All right, take it a step further. Christ manifests Himself in His creation by His words. He manifests Himself in His creation by His words. When this service is over, I want you to leave here saying, you know, the Lord said He was going to manifest Himself to us. I want you to be able to see manifestations of the Lord everywhere, all around you. Day in and day out, I want you to see manifestations of Christ to you, Him manifesting Himself to us. But He manifests Himself in His creation by His words. Now, listen to Psalm 19, the first six verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them at the set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoice as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. You know what the Lord's telling us here? He says, His creation reveals Himself to us. Now, it doesn't reveal the specifics about Him. And therefore, we need the Word of God. The heathen that never hear the Word of God, they know there's a God from creation. But they don't know who that God is. That's why we must take the gospel to them and say, this is the God that created all of that. If not, they'll end up worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. But here we find that all and throughout God's creation, there's manifestations of Christ through us. And by His words, we see His power in His creation. By His words, we see His majesty in His creation. By His words, we see His order. We see His design. All of these things, by His words, we see them in creation. Apart from His words, we just look at creation and we'd be kind of puzzled by it. We admire it, maybe. Like I said, people end up worshiping it. But we really wouldn't see it as manifestations of Christ. Now, here's an interesting thing. The scientists, we hear a lot about science today, do we not? The scientists, with all of their higher education, all their degrees after their name, they spend their lives studying God's creation. But most of them spend their lives studying God's creation apart from His Word. And you know what? As a result of that, they cannot see God in His creation. They study it in more detail than you or I ever will. They know about the things of creation more than you and I probably ever will. But because they do not study it in the light of God's Word, they do not see manifestations of our Savior in His creation. In fact, they come up and they say, it just had to all happen to be just a series of very unlikely circumstances transpired to do that. But we look at God's creation, what? Through His words. And because we have His words to help us see creation through, we see God throughout it all, do we not? We see God manifesting Himself to us everywhere. For instance, Matthew chapter 6, and verses 26 to 30. Just listen to this. Behold the fowls of the air. This is the Lord speaking. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now you think about what we just read. He says, look at the birds. He says, you know how the birds get fed? God says, I do it. You go to a man that does not look at the birds through the lens of the Word of God, and he's liable to come up with something like this. Over millions and millions of years, that bird's beak evolved a certain way, and he evolves with wings and this, that, and the other, and it's all just happened there. They don't see God in it at all. But you know something? When I see a bird out there eating something, I see God. I see a bird pulling a worm out of the ground, I see God at work. I say, that's a manifestation of God, how He'll take care of me. If He feeds that bird that worm, He'll certainly feed me. Amen? And I've got bird feeders. I hadn't filled them up lately because the blackbirds took over. But they just come in, you can fill them up, and they're scattered everywhere, and they'll be gone the next day. But I got bird feeders, and I enjoy feeding birds. I love seeing the sparrows and the wrens and the thrashers and all those little birds come around and eat. You know, I love to see that. And oftentimes, when I'm filling those bird feeders up, I think about this passage of Scripture. And I say, you know what, Lord, it's amazing to me. You promise me that you're feeding the birds, and that's proof that you're going to take care of me. And here I am, a preacher, and you're using me to feed the birds. If you'll use me to feed the birds, I know you're going to use somebody to feed me. Amen? Somehow you're going to take care of this old boy. And when I get to worry, and I think like that, and I say, nope, don't worry about it. The Lord's going to take care of me. And then he talks about the lilies. He said, look at the lilies out there. Well, King Solomon, with all of his wealth and all of his glory, you know, boy, I mean, silver was like nothing in his day. Gold was just practically nothing. And yet with all of his glory, his majestic throne and all of that stuff, he was nowhere near as glorious as a little lily. And so when I see the flowers, whether it's a lily or a rose or a daffodil or whatever, I look at that and I say, look at that. That's a revelation of God to me. He's revealing to me how He'll take care of me. But I see more than that also. I see in those beautiful flowers and in the design of the birds and the variety, I see something about God and His love for variations of things and His many ways of accomplishing different things. I see all of that in the flowers and in the little birds because I see it through the Word of God. And therefore I see Christ manifested in a bird eating and in a flower blooming. Some years ago, I was backpacking. Scott may have, I think Scott probably was with me this time. But we were backpacking on the Appalachian Trail up in the mountains. And we stopped for a rest. And oftentimes when that happens, you know, other backpackers, they'll catch up with you or whatever, and they'll stop and maybe have a meal together, something like that. And this young man stopped there and got to talking to him. He was, I believe he was called himself a geologist. But anyway, he was pretty sure he was a geologist. But in talking to him, and I was trying to work in some way to witness to him, and I asked him, I said, you know, how do you think these mountains and these deep valleys, how do you think all this came to be? And he said, well, he said, more than likely it took, you know, millions of years this take place. All these plates under the earth slipping and sliding and rubbing on each other and, you know, and pushing the mountains up and causing the valleys and all this other. He said, that's probably how it happened. To his credit, he wasn't real dogmatic on it. He said, but that's probably how it happened. I said, you know, you're going to probably think I'm crazy. I said, but I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I don't know that there is any other kind of Christian, amen. I said, but I'm a Bible-believing Christian. And I said, let me tell you, based upon the Word of God, what I think happened. I think that there was a time, about 4,000 years ago, this whole place was covered with water. And I said, I think that as the waters began receding and flowing down into the basins that we call oceans, I said, I think it was such a current. I said, I think it probably washed all the good soil off the top of these mountains. That's why we got all these rocks up here. And I said, it cut valleys in the softer parts of the earth, making these big valleys. I said, all this water just rushing like this. I said, it probably cut valleys in that. And it washed all the good soil down in the valleys and the lower land there. I said, you probably think I'm crazy, but that's what I believe. And I have to say this to my astonishment and his credit. He said, I never thought about that. He said, but I don't think you're crazy for believing that. I can see where, you know, he kind of like, yeah, I can see where that could possibly have been it. But now, why not, I tell you that story for this reason. I want you to see. When I look at the mountains, I'm up there in the mountains, and I think they're beautiful. In the beautiful mountains, and I see the different variety of things there. Doesn't matter what the season is, there's always things to see. There I see, because I've read the Word of God, I see in all of that, I see manifestations of my God to me. And even in what I believe is the signs of judgment, I see a manifestations of my God to me. You know what I see? I see manifestations of His hatred of sin. And I see manifestations of what of His wrath and what it does. Washing all of that out. Making the mountaintops bare and so forth there. I see all of that. But why do I see that in His creation? It's because I look at it through this Word. And I look at His creation through His Word, and by His words in His creation, Christ manifests Himself to me. Something that He is like. I could go on and on. But let me say one more thing. And that is Christ manifest Himself in history by His words. In history by His words. In high school, I hated history. I hated history. I went to a boarding school up until the 11th grade. And I convinced my father to let me leave the boarding school and go to the public school for my last 2 years of high school. And he was reluctant. And even some of the staff members, one in particular from the school, called me up and just about pleaded with me to come back. I think I was a pretty good student. But I wanted to go to the public school. Now, in the boarding school, they had very strict study schedules. And, you got your work done. The public school, it was not like that. And so I went to public school, and for the first time in my high school life, I was not under the strict discipline of having to study 2.5 hours every evening and so forth. And I'm not liking history. I didn't like history, and I didn't like French. And I didn't study a bit in history and French. I failed both of them. The only two things I ever failed in high school, my junior year in high school. I had enough credits already that I didn't need the French to graduate, but the history was a requirement, so I had to retake it. Second year, I applied myself, and I did pretty good. But I just did not like history. I was kind of like old Huck Finn. You know Huck Finn? The Willa Davis was going to teach him the Bible and so forth there, and she was teaching him all about Moses and the bulrushes and all of that. And old Huck, he said, man, he got all excited about that. He was getting caught up in this man Moses. And he said, then the widow Davis let it slip out that Moses was dead. And he said, I lost all interest in it after that. To quote Huck Finn, he said, so then I didn't care no more about him because I don't take no stock in dead people. And that's kind of the way I was about history. You know, I don't take no stock in dead people. I want to just know what's going on right now. And that was my attitude toward history. And I hated it. I hated it. I said, why'd I have to take this mess? Learn what dead people did. You know, why'd I have to do that? But I want to tell you something. I became a Christian in 1973, and that changed me into a history buff. History is one of my favorite subjects now. I cannot get enough history. I love history. Now, why is that? It's because by God's words, He revealed to me how He had fulfilled prophecies. I mean, you get back there in Daniel, and you see that big metallic image, and you see there, wow, this one here, you know, represents this empire, this portion represents this empire, this portion here represents this empire, and so forth there. And then you see how in history, how that empire rose and fell, this empire rose and fell, this empire rose and fell. And I said, my goodness alive, by God's Word, He revealed to me how that He had fulfilled prophecies in history. And then by God's Word, He revealed to me prophecies yet to be fulfilled. And I said, wow, now I want to look around me and see if it's possible that God is fulfilling those prophecies in right now, in the history that's being made right now. And I believe in many cases that I've seen that. I believe that when Israel became a nation in 1948, I believe that was fulfillment of some prophecy right there. I saw that. And then I began reading history, looking for God at work, bringing about fulfilling prophecies and other things. And I realized as I studied the Word of God that God has a program, and I realized how everything's going to end up there. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to see God manifesting Himself to me throughout history, over and over. We see it in the way He has blessed America, have we not? And so even in history. Because of His Word, Christ manifests Himself in history by His words. And He does it over and over. And I don't know enough about a lot of other disciplines to say dogmatically, but I would dare to say that by His words, the Lord reveals Himself in every academic discipline. Math, algebra, geometry, trigonometry, languages, sciences, geology, biology, astronomy. I dare say the Lord, by His words, reveals Himself in every academic discipline. I tell you what, it'll make a better student out of you. It really will. Now, the Lord Jesus, He told them, He said, I'm going to manifest Myself to you. And Judas, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how? How? And the Lord said, just stay in My Word, and you're going to get this thing. And I submit to you tonight that Jesus is revealing Himself to His disciples everywhere, all around us. Our problem is that we do not love and obey His words, and therefore we are unable to see His revelations of Himself. It's not that we're blind, but we got our eyes closed. When we're not in the Bible, our eyes are closed. We got blinders on. The more we get in this Bible, the more our eyes are open. The more we get in this Bible, the more the blinders are removed. They're ripped off. They're ripped off. But we got to stay in this Bible. You want the Lord to manifest Himself to you more? Get in this book. Get in this book. Learn everything you can about it. And as you do, you'll start seeing, oh, according to the Word of God, God's manifesting Himself to me through that little sparrow. God's manifesting Himself to me through that flower blooming over there. According to God's Word, God's manifesting Himself to me in history. He's got a plan in which one day He's going to restore the heaven and earth. And I see He's bringing it all to pass. He's manifesting Himself to me in that. You'll see Christ manifesting Himself to you everywhere. I want you to leave this place, and I want you to just see the Lord speaking to you. Amen? Not apart from His Word, but through the lens of His Word and everything around you. You'll see God's hand everywhere. And it'll make you realize what a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God we have. Let's stand.